Moolala is brought to you by the nonprofit credit counseling agency, Credit Canada. Once you retire, your income is fixed, right? Like you can't go pull another overtime shift to cover a car repair. And the cost of everything these days presents some real challenges for retirees when it comes to budgeting. Even those who saved a significant nest egg or who have a defined benefit pension plan. To help understand these challenges, Caitlin Verge decided to live on a senior's budget for a month. Caitlin is a debt professional with Grant Thornton, and she joins us now to talk about how it went and what she learned. She's in Halifax. Hello, Caitlin.
Hi, Bruce. Thank you so much for having me.
Why did you decide to do this in the first place?
Oh, gosh. I think two main reasons. The first being that I talk to these people every day. So I speak with a lot of people in the week, and I speak with a lot of seniors, and they have different situations. Everybody's situation is unique, but there's some themes that come through. So my first initial gut thing was I wanted to give them a voice. I hear it all the time, but it's easy for me to kind of hear it, but not experience it because I'm not on a fixed income. So my first thing was I want to live this experience so I can understand it better and give people that don't have that voice, right?
How did you determine what that income level would be? You would have had to make some assumptions.
Yes. So I did make a lot of assumptions, and you could have went a lot of ways with it, right? Seniors have such different experiences after they retire. Some have savings, some don't. So what I did was I went with what I heard the most. So what I hear the most is CPP, OAS, and the guaranteed income supplement. And what I did, I went on the Government of Canada website and I got the average for those. And that's how I came up with my income. And I've heard much lower, I've heard higher, but those are the ones that I heard the most. So that's what I went with.
And for those people who aren't plugged into what those three things amount to, give us a range here. Is that $1,200 a month? Is it, what is it?
Yeah, it depends, right? Because they are calculated differently. Like CPP is based on how much you work, right? How long you were in the working force. But the total average was $2,432. But again, $2,432, but subject to change, right? If you were a two-person household, you might not be eligible for that guaranteed income supplement. So there's different things that are going to impact that, but the average was $2,432 combined.
And then you had to make some assumptions about expenses. I'm sure, first and foremost, how much did you decide would come off the top for rent or mortgage?
Yeah, so that was really, really, really challenging. I'm in the Atlantic provinces. I'm in Halifax. And I wanted to give something that was realistic, but I wanted to be fair. So what I did is I looked up the averages for each of the capital Atlantic provinces. And then I used that to get to my rent number of 1225, right?
1225.
However, 1225, yeah, but I would say like in the area that I'm in Halifax, I think it is closer to about 2000 on average. So it's not even an accurate reflection of what someone's situation could be.
So I know you didn't move into a different house during that time, but you aligned your spending to what you estimated or assumed a senior would have. Mm-hmm. The first week was easier than the subsequent weeks. So tell us first off, what happened in that first week?
Yeah. So what happened in that first week? Like I have a great passion for budgeting. So I was ready. I thought I was going to kill this, right? And the first week I started off very strong. And I restricted myself, right? And it's something that I tell people not to do, actually, when I talk about building budgets with them in a counseling session. But I restricted myself so that I could fit within my parameters, and it worked for 1 week, right? So I was in that window, and I thought I could sustain it for the rest of the time. But I hit the week, and after the week, it went off the rails a little bit.
And how come it went off the rails?
Inflation. I think I underestimated inflation, right? And I say in my blog piece that I didn't splurge, like I wasn't out purchasing things as I normally would. But how I do normally run my life is if I'm in a store and I pick up a loaf of bread, I might grumble about the cost of the loaf of bread, but I ultimately quiet, right? And so that first week I restricted myself, but as time went on, I was like, oh, I can probably still afford this. So it was really that inflation on everyday items that just completely pushed me over.
How did you factor in some of the annual or biannual expenses that a senior might face that wouldn't show up month to month, that they would need to have a buffer to cover?
So I called that variable expenses. I broke them down into variable and fixed. And I did the same thing I did with the rent. I started to look up averages. So I tried to use food studies, medical expense studies, and it was not a perfect science, right? Like if you're in certain provinces, you might be eligible for some supportive income. So you might get that medical expense down, or depending on what your health issues are, it might be, you know, hugely higher, right? It might have been a low ball. So I looked up averages and I tried to go with the averages. And then for savings and entertainment, I really went with what I had left. So I had my two numbers left and I said, you know what, I would never say to anybody, you know, restrict yourself to the point of not experiencing anything. So I'm going to give myself a little bit of an allowance to have some quality of life and hopefully some savings. So those two numbers came from what was left.
I am all admiration that you stuck with it for the month. I really seriously and am impressed that you did that. Mm-hmm. What are some of the things that you would say you learned?
I mean, I learned a lot. I think that as a professional, especially if you're dealing with folks that have money troubles all the time, I think for me, it was a really healthy check for myself of reality and privilege, right? So that was the biggest thing I took away is, wow, how privileged am I? The first thing. The second thing was the importance of retirement savings. So the huge takeaway is like, oh my goodness, like for people that are my generation, it just highlights an opportunity to put efforts into those retirement savings. And the third thing is that I think we need to bolster our resources for seniors, right? Is that, you know, even with my best efforts, it wasn't enough, right? And when you do the math, actually, I think the highest minimum wage province or territory is the Yukon. And I think they're at like $1,677 an hour. And if you add that up, that would be net less than what this budget is. So my other takeaway is that even though I said this is a senior's budget, really it could apply to a huge demographic of Canadians that are on minimum wage income, other types of fixed income, mat leave, EI, seasonal employment. I think it applies to a lot of people. So it was just a sobering experiment.
Certainly there is a level of empathy that you will have that you wouldn't have had you not done this this experiment, and you have new insight into the dynamics of the income that seniors earn, at least on average. After doing this experiment, what advice do you have for seniors who are in this zone, who are in these circumstances now? It's too late to save more. That ship has sailed. What advice do you have for them now?
Yeah, I think returning to, at a basic level, I think returning to the old mainstays, right? Where can I cut? Can I move in with family? Can I get no fee banking, right? Which is possible. Can I get extra government supplements? Can I just go with internet and cable instead of cable and internet? Like, where can I cut my basic expenses in my budget to help navigate this? And I think that my big thing, if somebody's experiencing a constant deficit and a constant issue with debt and growing debt and just really not being able to make ends meet, I think seeking help from trusted professionals like Grant Thornton, other licensed insolvency trustees or other debt professionals that can help you find a solution for this and try to alleviate some of that stress. If I add debt payments on top of this, like I don't know what I would have done if I added debt payments on top of this. So they're not alone and there's help.
How did people in your community, your friends, your coworkers, what did they think about your experiment? What did they have to say?
My coworkers were very supportive. I think they thought I was a little wacky for undertaking it at such a level. I think that my husband thought I was wacky. He didn't participate in the experiment. We pretended we were separated for the month and then we bought our own things. I did my own groceries and went on my own. But they were supportive, right? I think that it's one of those things, it's like kind of the elephant in the room, right? I think we all know it's an issue, but we don't actually delve into what does that experience feel like and what does it actually look like. So they were wonderful. They were supportive. But I think maybe thought I was a little kooky, but I think great results came from it.
As the experiment wound down and you looked forward to the day when you returned to your prior life and your prior way of spending, what is the first thing that you went out and bought outside of the experiment?
That's a funny question. So I actually I'm a pretty avid budgeter for in real life. Like outside of this experiment, I'm pretty strict with my funds. So there was no splurge. For me, I really took it, and you could take it as an opportunity to save money. So I did. I was like, great, I've done all this work. I want to take advantage of all the work that I've done. So I didn't really do anything. I did go back to some regular spending habits. So I did, you know, buy the bread in the grocery store and continue to buy those things that I wanted, but I didn't have that big splurge. I took it as, you know, this was a budgeting experiment and I should take advantage of my learning.
Wow. You should see my face right now. Like if I was on a calorie restricted budget, the first thing I would do at the end of the experiment would be to eat an entire chocolate cake with my hands.
Yeah. And that's how most people, like when I speak to people on a day-to-day basis, that's what happens when they restrict the budget, right? Is that they're so restricted, they just go nuts, right? But I think I have a lot of privilege. My husband still did live in my house. So he probably was buying things that I got the benefit of that whole time, right? Nice. So I think I was kind of, it was a light calorie restriction.
Yeah. Very, very interesting, Caitlin. And I appreciate you writing about it and coming to talk to us about it.
Thank you so much for having me. I really appreciate it. I think it's awesome that we're having this conversation and getting the messages there.
Thank you, Caitlin. Caitlin Verge is a debt professional with Grant Thornton. She was in Halifax today, and she took an entire month and built a budget based on average income for a senior, based on CPP, OAS, and GIS. She made some assumptions on what housing would cost. And boy, some hard but important lessons learned, both in terms of the big picture and how we support our seniors in this country, and at a micro level too. How do you determine what to buy at the grocery store when you don't have two pennies to rub together?